All right, wisdom is being personified. And so wisdom is saying, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit. Wisdom will, I will make known my words to you because I have called, wisdom called, and ye refused. Wisdom says, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, rejected wisdom, would none of my reproof. I, wisdom, will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. Again, we say they're talking about God, but God's talking about His spirit of wisdom. They'll ask for that wisdom, but they'll not get it. It's too late. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verse 30, for they would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof against wisdom speaking. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, wisdom, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So let's look this morning at wisdom's plea. She crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Roman numeral 1 is wisdom is offered to men. Wisdom is offered to men. She crieth without. She uttereth her voice. She crieth in the chief places. Wisdom is offered to men. We all have the opportunity to have wisdom. Wisdom is not a respecter of persons. Wisdom can be given to the, let's go back 100 years in American history, let's go back and say wisdom can be given to the farm man as well as the college educated. In fact, if you know anything about history, it was probably more with the farm man than it was with the college educated. Because wisdom is offered to all. Notice this, letter A, as we look at this morning, where wisdom pleads. Beginning in verse 20, where wisdom pleads, it says it crieth without, verse 20. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse. There are three places in verse 20 and 21 where wisdom pleads. Number one, in the marketplace. All right? Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Wisdom is pleading in the marketplace. It's a public cry. She's out there crying in the streets. She's out there crying in the public. Wisdom is available to everyone. And it's a public availability. It's not, as the Masons would say, a secret lodge or secret society. That those inner workings and that best information is withheld to those that get to the 33rd degree. It's not like the cults would say that you've got to be a part of their group and a part of their movement or a part of their following to have that kind of wisdom. No, wisdom is no respecter of persons. It's available to everybody. Everybody in the marketplace, everybody in the street can get that kind of information. Wisdom is available to all. And again, as Solomon is writing to his young child, it's available at a very young age. You know, the problem with the world is trying to gloss over. The world is trying to bury wisdom by its philosophy and by its marketing and by its pushing and by all of that. They're trying to influence people so that we don't make our own decisions. So that we don't think things through, that we're reactionary. And Solomon is taking time to just say, hey, wait a minute, wisdom's available to everybody. And if there's any place we need wisdom, it's in the marketplace. You ever get tired of answering the phone and it's a telemarketer? You say, why don't they just stop? You know why they don't stop? Because it works. If it wasn't working, they wouldn't be doing it. But apparently, hopefully it's not you, I know it's not me, because we don't even answer the phone if we don't recognize, we've got that caller ID, we don't know the phone number. So if you ever call us and we don't answer, we didn't recognize your phone number, all right? When it comes in, if we don't recognize, we don't answer, because 9 times out of 10 or 9.9 times out of 10, it's somebody doing telemarketing. And we just don't answer the phone. But that means the reason they don't give up, the reason they don't stop is because it's working with somebody. And those are the gullible. They're going to buy that knife set. They're going to buy whatever that is that they're out there. They're going to give the money to the cancer charities. And that's not necessarily bad things. But we need wisdom in the marketplace. She crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. It's available to everyone. It's not just in the realms of secret societies and groups. It's out there available in the marketplace. Number two, in verse number 21. Wisdom cries in the meeting place. In the meeting place. In the marketplace, wisdom is not reserved to the halls of Congress. In fact, a lot of punchlines could be given right there. That wisdom is usually not found in the halls of Congress. It's not relegated to the halls of higher education. And again, we would say the same thing about wisdom in that regard. But it's available to all. And yet at the same time, it is available to those in those places. That's what we say in verse number 21. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the opening of the gates. The meeting place. You remember all the way back in the book of Genesis when you were a man of position, you sat in the gate. That's where decisions were made. That was their seat of government for the village or for the city or for the town. They sat inside the gates. They watched everyone that came in and went out. There was a strict immigration policy. All right, they stood at the center of the gate, and if strangers came in and they recognized them as strangers, they dealt with them friendly and all that. Why are you coming here? What are you doing? What's the reason for your travel? We just went through the Canadian border yesterday morning at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and coming into the United States with our passports, and they just quiz you. They grill you. You have Ohio plates. Where do you live in Ohio? Like it's a trick question or something. And they do. That's what they did in the meeting places back in those cities, back in Old Testament times. They sat in the place, and they watched everybody that came in and went out. The decisions were made there. You remember the book of Ruth, where there was a near kinsman that decided not to marry Ruth, or not to marry the woman there. And they went before the elders of the city that sat in the gate, all right? The gate was the place of governmental authority. And here it says it's this meeting place. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. The place where judgments are made. The place where justice is served. If any place needs wisdom, that's the place. We need to pray for those in positions of making judgments, starting locally, the police departments, judges. I don't know about you, but I have no desire to be a judge. Nothing in me wants me to sit on a thing and hear two people's arguments and then decide things. You know, like Solomon with that little baby that the woman overlaid during the night. Bless God, God gave him the wisdom to make those decisions. I wouldn't want to make decisions where people's futures and lives are held in the hand right there. And so we need to pray for those in decision-making roles that they would have the wisdom that they needed, because wisdom is available. But apparently it's a rare commodity, because not a lot of folks have it. So where does wisdom plead? In the marketplace, in the meeting place. Number three, in the metropolis. In the metropolis. It says at the end of verse 21, in the city she uttereth her words. You know, I am amazed. I've read Proverbs dozens and dozens of times. But again, as I sit down and go through it slowly in preparation to teach it, I'm overwhelmed by the wisdom that's contained in Proverbs. And I just sit there when I'm going over this and making these outlines and putting these notes down, I just sit there and I just pause for a minute and just am overwhelmed at the reality of the Word of God, at the power and the depth of it. Wisdom is available in the marketplace, in the meeting place. It's available in the metropolis. You know, our cities need wisdom. It seems like country places, you know, the remote areas are a little in tune with reality than those in the metropolis. And I guess the reason is because when you get in the cities, there are so many voices. Everyone demanding attention. Everyone demanding time. Everyone demanding something from us. You go into the cities and there's the hustle and the bustle and the movement and the crowds and the multitudes of people and everybody just moving along with everybody else and nobody, as it were, nobody thinking for themselves and but everybody following the crowd. Boy, do you need wisdom when you're in that metropolis. And wisdom is available. It's there. It's crying out, but sometimes its voice is hard to be heard. You've got the radio airwaves. You've got the television talkers. You've got the advertisements all over the place. You've got the newspapers and the magazines. You've got the internet. You've got so many voices going at that. How do you find wisdom in the midst of all that? And Solomon is telling us that even in the midst of that metropolis, even in the midst of that big crowd and all of that hullabaloo, there's the official word for it, in the midst of all that, wisdom is still crying out and wants to be noticed. The problem is, is it Jeremiah or one of the minor prophets that said, I sat where they sat. He sat and watched the multitudes, watched the people going by, and he was just overwhelmed by society and the movement of people and all these folks. And he said, and we're looking at Solomon saying, where is wisdom in the midst of? Wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is wanting attention, but everybody's too busy to give it any time. Oh, with all thy getting, get wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So where wisdom pleads, in the marketplace, in the meeting place, in the metropolis, it is crying out, it is wanting attention. But everybody's interested in everything but wisdom. Letter B, in verse 22 and verse 23 then, what wisdom pleads? We saw where wisdom pleads, the three places where it's pleading, and it's all around us. Stop, look, and listen. Stop long enough to listen. And listen, I mean just listen, not just hear it, but listen. And look for that wisdom, because it's out there and available, but it's going to be buried among everything else that's out there. All the philosophies of the world and all the teachings that are out there. You've got to look purposely for wisdom. What wisdom pleads, beginning verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Notice there's three groups of people here. Simple ones, scorners, and fools. He's telling us here, number one, under what wisdom pleads, turn from your ways. Turn from your ways, your simplicity, your scorning, your foolishness. See, that's what the metropolis is listening to. That's what the marketplace is going after. That's what the meeting place is listening to. They're going for the wisdom of this world instead of the wisdom that comes from God. And wisdom is crying out and saying, turn from your ways. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? The word simple ones simply means those that are content to just believe what they hear. Easily persuaded. We would say, word I used earlier, gullible. Ye simple ones. Just taking whatever said. Believing whatever is taught and not questioning and not looking underneath the surface for the things that really are important. Turn from your ways. Wisdom looks at these things, the simple ones. Wisdom looks at the scorners and wisdom looks at the fools. And you know what it sees? It sees people that can't be bothered with wisdom. How long, you simple ones? How long, you scorners? How long, you fools? Wisdom is crying out, but it's being ignored. You give them money, and they waste it. You give them a job, and they mess up those opportunities. Anybody that's been in the, you've seen, everywhere you go right now, help wanted, help wanted, help wanted. And yet there's lots of people out there, I know unemployment is, but there's a lot of people out there that need the help. They need a job. They need to work. They need to get out and do something. And they're not doing it. Because they get out there and they get a job and they don't have the ethic. They don't have the character. They get out there and work for a few days, get that first paycheck, and don't show up the next Monday. Wisdom is crying. Wisdom is crying out and folks are ignoring it. We offer them education. Wisdom offers them education. But they don't study. You know, our colleges now are just furthering high school education, just a place for kids 18 and 19 years old to go out and enjoy the party life. And now you go on websites and they rate the party schools in America. Very few are going out really for an education. And you know the statistics, to go out and spend that $80,000 for a 3 or 4 year education, sometimes much more than that, and then have no jobs available because they're overqualified for everything. And the burger places are screaming for help. Man, start somewhere. Get in there, get a responsibility. So what happens? They waste their summers. They don't work in the winter. They turn out unproductive. And all this time, wisdom is crying out, how long? How long, you simple ones? How long, you scorners? How long, you fools? Will you hate knowledge? You've tried everything else. Why not try wisdom? And wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. So that's what wisdom pleads. Turn from your ways. And then verse number 23. Turn you at my reproof. Again, this is wisdom speaking. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit. The Bible talks about the spirit of wisdom in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. So turn from your ways, number one. Number two, turn to my words. Wisdom is crying. Turn you at my reproof. Again, the offer. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you refused. Turn to my words. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Notice, this is a spiritual issue. Wisdom is a spiritual issue. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't know God, you have a hard time getting in on wisdom. Because the first thing wisdom is going to do is teach you to fear the Lord. A wise man, a wise woman, fears God. The Lord is in all their thoughts. But those that do not give wisdom a second thought, wisdom says, turn you at my reproof. It's a spiritual issue. You'll not find wisdom in the halls of atheism. Because you're just not wise. Oh, you might be intellectual. You might be, Bob Jones Sr. used to say, educated beyond your intelligence. You might have a triple-digit IQ instead of a double-digit IQ. But at the same time, that's not what guarantees wisdom. And really, modern-day education is at odds with wisdom. Write this down, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. I'll turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. See, there is a competing wisdom with the wisdom that comes from God. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, Paul said this, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." So there is a wisdom of this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says in verse 25, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men." He says in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 1, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, which God hath chosen." God's wisdom is higher than human wisdom and man's wisdom, but there is human and earthly wisdom. In fact, James tells us this wisdom cometh not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. All right, there is a worldly wisdom, and there is a godly wisdom. The voice we listen to the most is the voice that dictates our behavior. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you're listening to. Be careful where you're spending your time, because the world has wisdom. It has worldly wisdom. And if we're not careful, if we get away from our Bible and don't read our Bible daily and aren't in church and listening to preaching and teaching the Word of God, if we're not getting absorbed with that, we are set up for the wisdom of the world. Because we will not be spiritually in tune enough to separate the two, because they're going to look very close in semblance to one to the other. So we need to turn from our ways and turn to His words. We need to understand that there is a conflict of wisdom. And the world is looking to its wisdom. Did you know Charles Darwin went to Cambridge University to study for the ministry? Charles Darwin. studied for the ministry. It was after he'd already washed out of two other schools. His father had sent him off to get an education, first in the classics, reading all the Harvard classic books and being wise in literature. But he frivolously wasted his days at the university and didn't learn. So his father then sent him on to another school where he studied medicine. But his behavior didn't change, and he still wasted his time with more of the other life than what he was supposed to be there for. And so his father finally said, I'm going to cut off your money. I'm not going to support you going to college anymore because you're wasting my money by wasting your time. So he decided to go to Cambridge, to the university, to study for the ministry. And there was one occasion when he was on a ship sailing. And while he was on that ship sailing, the sailors were cursing, they were partying, they were doing all that, and he stood up and he rebuked them from Scripture. He rebuked them from the pages of the Bible. And when he did, he got mocked and ridiculed and criticized, and he couldn't handle that. And it wasn't too long after that that he turned completely away from his faith. Wrote a book of fiction. And you know what fiction is, right? Fiction is, nonfiction is true stories. Fiction is make-believe, making up a story. Now, fiction is not necessarily bad. There are a lot of fiction books that people read that are entertaining and well-written stuff. But he wrote a book of fiction called Origin of the Species. And nobody took it seriously. I mean, here's a guy that washed out of three colleges, was training for the ministry. He really couldn't find his niche in anything. And he wrote this book about how life came about because he was turning from the wisdom of God to the wisdom of the world. But it was years later that a guy named Huxley came along and discovered the book that Darwin had written. And from there, you know the theory of evolution and how it's overrun our modern society and taught in our schools. And God is left out, while the wisdom of this world, which is earthly, sensual, and devilish, is what's worshipped among modern society. And it all came from a person that turned from the wisdom of God to the wisdom of this world. And there are a lot of Christians today that try to reconcile now evolution with the Bible. You know what they've done? They have missed out on the wisdom that comes from God. And they're more worried about the wisdom that comes from the world. It's fitting in and being accepted by society, which is exactly what happened to Darwin on that ship that day. But wisdom says, turn from your ways. Turn to my words. Wisdom is offered to men. Then number two, Roman numeral two. Wisdom is offended by men. Verse 24 to verse 33. Wisdom is offended by men. Remember again, wisdom is personified here. And wisdom can be offended. It can be insulted. And that's the best description of our modern day society, of what our world today is doing to wisdom. It is offending wisdom. It is insulting wisdom. When someone has real wisdom, they get mocked and ridiculed. Our vice president said at one point, he'll not eat out with a woman that's not his wife. And the world went nuts. And then shortly after that, this Me Too movement started, and all these people, and we see all these men that had been out with women and done inappropriate things. We didn't have to worry about that with the vice president because he's got some wisdom. And that wisdom comes from God and comes from above. He said that God speaks to him, and the world went nuts. Joyce Bayer on The View said, if a person thinks that they can hear from God, that God's speaking to them, they have a mental problem. You know what I think? I think if a person says, God's never spoken to me, you have the problem. It's not the ones that have heard, my sheep hear my voice. That's what Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. If you haven't heard the voice of God, it's because you're not one of his sheep. And so the wisdom of the world, God, wisdom, real wisdom, godly wisdom, is offended by men. Notice letter A in verse 24 and verse 25. He says this, because I have called and ye refused. That's letter A, the refusal. Wisdom says, I have called and ye have refused. Remember what we said? It's available in the marketplace. It's available to everybody. But wisdom calls out and people refuse it. People turn it down. No, I'm too busy with life. I'm too busy with my occupation. I'm too busy making money. I'm too busy building my houses and my lands. I'm too busy doing all this. I don't have time for wisdom. Wisdom is not profitable to me. I can't make money off of wisdom. And so they turn away from it and they refuse it. Man refuses wisdom. That's why there's so many fools in the world. You hear all those voices in the metropolis? None of them are spiritual. None of them make godly sense. And the reason is because they've refused wisdom. He said, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Number one, under the refusal, wisdom's call disregarded. He said in verse 24, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Disregarded. Wisdom has been disregarded. We go in this life from the womb to the tomb. And in between those two things, there are three important questions that only wisdom can answer. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? Those are the three most important questions in human history. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? You know what? Wisdom hasn't answered all three of those. But the world doesn't want to hear the answer to those three questions. Where did we come from? Oh, we came from an atomic bomb blow up in space called the Big Bang. It doesn't make sense. When you start questioning and looking at, well, where did the things came from that caused the Big Bang? There's no answer to any of that. It doesn't make sense, but they're avoiding the question, where did we come from? They're putting a worldly, sensual, devilish emphasis on it. Why are we here? Well, the Bible tells us we're here for His pleasure. But that's not what the world wants to hear. They're here for their own pleasure. They're here to go for all the gusto they can, I think one of the beer commercials says. They're here to live life to its fullest, to be happy, to enjoy life. To be healthy, wealthy, and worldly wise. That's the motto of the world. Why are we here? Where are we going? Oh man, ask the modern philosophers, ask the college professors, where are we going after this? Oh, you go nowhere. You just die and it's all over and that's, well, on what basis did somebody that happened to tell you that that's what happened? How do you know that? I mean, if everybody just dies and that's the end and there's nothing, how can you know that? Because there's nobody to tell you that's what happens. But there is somebody that tells you there's something happens after life. And there's a multitude of people that tell you there's things. You could pick Moses and Elijah who died in the Old Testament and were still around on the Mount of Transfiguration. You could take Enoch who is translated that he should not see death and is still around over in the book of Jude in the New Testament. There are many testimonies that life does not end. Our soul does not end when death comes. And so all the answers the world is looking for, are they're looking in the wrong directions and they're covering over the answers and really covering over the questions. Because they're not looking for that wisdom. Wisdom's call has been disregarded. Then lastly, this morning, obviously I didn't have the intent of getting all the way through this, because if you notice, there's a back page on this one too. So keep these for next week. But we'll get to number two. Wisdom's call despised. Wisdom called despised. D-E-S-P-I-S-E-D. Verse 25, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You know what the amazing thing in the Bible is how many times wisdom reached out and they rejected it. Wisdom in the person of Jesus Christ. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee together at the hen doth her chicks, and ye would not. Refusing. One of the strangest stories in the Bible is that old character Pharaoh. What a hard heart he had. And when the frogs invaded the land in one of those plagues from the hand of Moses, and the frogs came in, and Moses came before him. And Pharaoh said, pray for me, beseech God for me that he take the frogs away. And he said, all right, I'll take the frogs away as long as you let the children of Israel go. When do you want the frogs removed? And one of the strangest answers in all the Word of God, tomorrow. Brother Mark Rogers sings that song, One More Night with the Frogs. I mean, if it's 6 o'clock at night and the sun's going down and these frogs are invading the land and they're everywhere, you can't sleep on your bed, you can't go into your living room, you can't watch the television. I know we're talking about different times back then. But there's nothing you can do, no room you can go in that there aren't frogs everywhere. And somebody says, when do you want the frogs to be taken away? I think 100% of us in here right now would say, now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Take them away now. But Pharaoh says, tomorrow. How foolish the wisdom of the world is. It makes no sense. Because wisdom has been despised. All right, next week we'll pick up with letter B. Remember, again, keep this outline for next week. We'll have more of them at that time. But we'll continue our study in Proverbs chapter 1. Father, thank you for your word. Again, thank you for its amazing truth. And Lord, its depths and riches. And Father, help us each and every day of our life to desire more of the things of God from the Word of God. Bless those that come to join us in our morning service in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a short break and we'll begin our morning service.
For us.